It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to another edition of Wayne's Comics. I've got a really interesting show today. I'm talking with store owner David Romeo from Comics on the Green in northeastern Pennsylvania, and he's a connoisseur of all things comics, so we will get to him pretty quickly because he's got some interesting things to say. So stand by. Before I start the segment with Dave, I just wanted to apologize. I had trouble with my microphone for some reason. I'm going to look into it. My voice comes out a little gravelly, a little hard to hear at times, but luckily Dave's voice comes out fine. So let's get to it. Okay, we're talking today with David Romeo from Comics on the Green, which is the premier comic shop in the northeastern Pennsylvania area. And David, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, Wayne. Nice to talk to you today. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we used to stop by your store quite regularly, my brother and I, when we had family in that region that we came up to visit. So we liked the store. You've moved a little a couple times since we first went there, but why don't you give the folks your location so in case they want to stop by, they can visit your store.
Sure. Here's my cheap plug for the store. The address is 307 North Washington Avenue. And we're smack in the middle of downtown Scranton. We're between City Hall and the courthouse. And you could also get directions, that depending on where you're coming from, on our website, www.comicsonthegreen.com.
Cool. You talked a little bit on Facebook, I know, about the books that came out this past week. You want to talk about what you think were some of the highlights?
Yeah, this week there was a decent amount of books out this week, and I do read Marvel and DC, and I'll always try some small indies. Although they're drying up, it seems there's fewer and far between. But even just stuff from Image Comics, some of the smaller titles. Let's see, some highlights this week. Let me see. I enjoyed the Silver Surfer, and I admit that my expectations on that were a little bit low considering the direction they've taken the Surfer in lately. And I wasn't expecting too much from it. It was written by Greg Pak, a nice art by, was it Steven Segovia? I might be wrong about that, but it ended up doing the Surfer justice. It's going to be a good miniseries, I think. There's some nice little twists and turns, and it's nice to see the Surfer part of an interesting storyline on his own for a change without being part of a big cosmic crossover. So that one stood out in my mind.
What direction are they taking him? I don't happen to be reading that one.
That's fine. Ever since the first Annihilation, they pretty much put him back in service with Galactus. And I didn't mind that, but it just kind of felt like, well, here's, Marvel kind of showing a lack of ideas of what to do with the character. So let's just put him back exactly where we found him. And it seems like he hadn't done much since. He seemed to be all cold and calculating again. And there were some reasons for it. I'm not going to go into the whole Annihilation storyline or anything. But it just seemed like that's where they want to keep him right now. Now, he's still in the service of Galactus in this miniseries, don't get me wrong. But they're doing some nice twists and turns. They've introduced some new antagonists for him. And they did something very strange at the very end of it. So don't flip to the back if you do want to pick up the series.
Now, that's often a comic staple, as the cover is on the last page of the comic.
Yeah, no, I'm often warning people not to flip to the back of any book,
Mm-hmm.
And then they tend to blurt it out too. Sometimes people will be in the store and say, "Oh my God, I can't believe they, killed this person or did that thing." I'm like, "Oh, please, you have to keep that to yourself." It's a little element of surprise these days, even with all the information out there on the internet ahead of time. I like to be surprised. I'm still a big fan.
Okay. What other comics did you want to talk about?
Let's see. Some other little titles I think that people might be missing. Some aren't so little, but for Image Comics, I'm really enjoying Marine Man right now by Ian Churchill, which was a definite surprise for me. That's one of those books where I thought, well, I'll give it a read because it just looks something that people might be asking about. And it's just a charming, fun read. It has more of a feel of maybe like a 1960s Hanna-Barbera adventure, and that's not a bad thing. In fact, it's written in modern style, so it doesn't feel like it's a retro story. It just has that feel of a classic adventure story. And like Ian Churchill's art in this, his cartoony style fits. He's writing it himself. The coloring is gorgeous. This is all coming out from Image Comics.
Right.
And that's been a welcome surprise. That's one of those little books that could, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
Sales on it are kind of sluggish right now, but maybe it'll catch on with the right audience.
Well, one of the things that you've always done with me is you suggested comics that I might like, and you're the one who talked me into Walking Dead, and boy, am I glad for that.
Yes, and I had people talk me into The Walking Dead originally, too, so yeah, we were a little ahead of the game on that one, me and you at least jumping on that a little bit earlier on.
Yeah.
I wish I had more time to try some of these smaller titles that pop up. I don't always get a chance to, but this is the time of year where I actually do a lot more reading because there's just... You know, winter in the Northeast here isn't that great. There's really nothing to do. And for me, football season's over, so I'm not watching games on Sunday. So I'm doing a lot more reading right now.
You talked about Green Lantern 62 on Facebook. What'd you think of that?
I like Green Lantern overall pretty much all the time. The only thing I feel with Green Lantern over the past almost 3 years now, really since the Sinestro Corps War, and I think I even mentioned this on Facebook, was that this book has been like a runaway train. And it just doesn't slow down.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel sometimes with Green Lantern, we're going from one big event into another big event. Almost each issue is like some major epic, even if it's only part three of a storyline that's running four or five parts. I almost kind of wish for a little bit of downtime on GL, but who am I to argue? Sales are terrific on the book. Fans are ecstatic about it. Jeff Johns does a great job month in and month out with it. I just kind of wish it would slow down a little bit. Maybe after War of the Green Lantern, after the summer, maybe we'll get a little downtime on the book, even for an issue or two. Nothing has to be world-devouring, I don't think, every time, you know?
No, that's true. Well, he had some slow time before. You know, before he started up into the Black Lantern, the Blackest Night, I don't think it was going well. He had the Sinestro War.
And then we went to Secret Origin, I guess would be the closest thing to a slowdown. But at the same time, you know, he was using Secret Origin to set up things that were eventually going to happen in Blackest Night. But again, like I said, I'm always enjoying the book. I just always feel like I'm catching my breath, like something major is happening all the time. It's not necessarily a bad thing.
Of course, my brother, who is a big Green Lantern fan, just loves nothing better than the fact that this is Hal Jordan back in the,
right,
you know, in the Green Lantern suit. And, you know, for the longest time, DC Comics said, no, Green Lantern can't work. We can't have aliens running around with rings on. And now we've got more Green Lanterns and more Yellow Lanterns and Blue Lanterns and
Indigo and
you name it.
I'm sure we'll find a few more out there too, or during the war maybe.
It just kills me that there's so many now, where before we thought, well, one was way too much.
Right. Well, it just shows you with the right idea, with the right editors, you know, can shape something like that and try to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
I always said that there. I mean, they always say there are no bad ideas. I believe there are bad ideas, but I believe the right writer and editorial can really shape things into something good. And they've proven that month in and month out with Green Lantern.
Okay. And I guess we should say on Facebook, since we're talking about Facebook a lot, you're on Facebook under Comics on the Green.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if they want to come out and check out what your store is up to, they can check it out there too.
Yeah, you can check us out there. We always try to keep it fun. I'm never doing any kind of major promotions on there or anything. I'll tell people maybe if we're having a special sale, if they can contact. But we try to keep it light and fun. You know, we talk about what we read, and fans will post funny things on there. Right now, we have one of our customers pointed out to me, somebody did a spoof on eHarmony. I don't know if you saw it. They did a spoof on eHarmony using superheroes and supervillains.
No.
But basically, you have to see it. It's actually very well done. It's a typical eHarmony, two people talking about meeting the plain white background. And in it, you have normal people, so-called normal people, and they're talking about this person they met, and it ends up being like Batman or Lex Luthor or Poison Ivy. And they're very well done. And if you get a chance, I do recommend even checking us out for that. But,
okay. Where's it at? Is it on YouTube?
It's on YouTube, yeah, and we do have it on our Facebook page. In case you can't find it for some reason, you know, navigating around YouTube is pretty easy, but it's right there on our first page only a few days back.
Okay. Well, another comic you talk about that I don't happen to have on my subscription list is Avengers Academy, number 9.
Yeah, that's a little surprising book for me, too.
What is it that surprises you about it?
You know what? I normally, I guess because as I get older, I'm starting to lose interest in books about teenage superheroes and teenage angst. And, I mean, if it's well done, great. And, I again, another book that I read because I figured, well, you know, customers will ask about this. Let me try it out. It's an Avengers title. And I love Mike McCone's art. Writer Christos Gage is usually very good. So I thought, well, how bad could it be? And it wasn't. It wasn't bad at all. It was very good. And all of a sudden, I'm reading issue 2, and then I'm reading 3 and 4, and all of a sudden, I'm engrossed in this title.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very well done. It's very well done. Even like I said, even like maybe identify with the teen angst anymore. There's a little bit of a twist to it. It's not just the Avengers got this group of young people together to help train them to be the next level. There's a little something more to it, and that gives the book just a little bit of an edge, and I like it. And Mike McCone's art, even the fill-in people they've had for him, because he always has trouble making deadlines. They've been excellent, and a highly recommended book. And you don't even have to read the other Avengers titles to know what's going on. You could definitely read this free and clear of the other titles if you want to.
Do you think it compares to, like, the Young Justice TV show on Cartoon Network?
I don't think so. I've only seen Young Justice a little bit. Mm-hmm. If only in the fact that they're young heroes banding together, and they do seem to have, you know, some mentors and people looking out for them. But I can't compare them just yet. It's not quite apples and oranges, but they're not quite apples and apples either.
Well, I guess that's a good thing, because if it was just like Young Justice, then you'd watch Young Justice, I suppose, instead of
right.
Wouldn't have to go into the comic store. So.
Well, there's something about these kids, and there's a reason the Avengers got this particular group together. There's a different reason for it, too.
You know, I like to, on my little podcast, talk about the little goodies that show up in comic stores. And while we're talking about things you said on Facebook, there's one thing that really makes me smile. It's the Doctor Who swimsuit calendar.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And on the front is a Dalek wearing a, you know, a two-piece.
Bikini.
Yeah,
not for the faint of heart, people, yeah. That was something, one of my customers pointed out to me, knowing I'm a big Doctor Who fan. It's just, yeah, fun stuff like that. All kinds of aliens in swimsuits. Unfortunately, you're not going to see any of his you know, very good-looking companions or anything like that.
Wow.
But you'll see a lot of aliens in swimsuits.
Well, let's just hope they don't put Matt Smith in a swimsuit. That would be a little...
No, I think that will be something for the lady somewhere down the road. But not this. This calendar is for a totally different breed of person.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, exactly.
It's interesting because, you know, the economy being what it is, and my understanding is your store is still thriving really well. Is it because, as you talk on, and I hate to keep referring to Facebook, but you talk about the fact that you're basically, your main focus and almost total focus is on comics. Is that why you think that the store is doing so well?
Well, I think even though we do carry a large range of trade paperbacks and toys and T-shirts and things like that, our focus has always been on the comics. It's never strayed from that. I believe that's where the heart of the industry is. There's a new product every week. The stories and the comics are things that engage people and keep them coming back, you know, every week, every Wednesday, every twice a week for some customers. And myself, I'm still a big fan, so I think that really helps when, you know, customers come in and they could talk, and I'll talk to them about old comics. I'll talk to them about the new stuff. We try to make recommendations. And all the guys that work for me, you know, when somebody gets hired at our store, they have to be a comic book fan. I don't just hire somebody who reads one comic book a month and can't talk comics. You know, you don't want to go into a garage and have somebody tell you they don't know how to fix a car. So why would you go to any store and not expect somebody to have some sort of knowledge of the product? And that's what we're a big fan of, and I think that helps. And we're all big fans, and I think that comes across too. People know that. Yeah, they hear me talk about comics there, and they know if I'm genuinely excited, they're going to know about it.
Well, that's one of the things that I liked about your store very much, is we could come in there and sort of talk about what's hot and what's not, what's new, what's interesting. Because I've been to stores where the persons are in charge, or basically it's like a library. You know, you come in, you get your books, you leave, and you don't get the chance to talk with people. You don't get the chance to sample things that you might actually like.
Exactly. A big thing for us is people are constantly asking us for recommendations of all different, you know, all different races and all different demographics. And we always tell them there's something out there for everybody. And we're all a knowledgeable staff that understands that. And that helps, because I think the biggest complaint I hear from customers that come from when they visit us or come from out of the area, they always say that their local shop, the guy that nobody reads comics, they ask them for just basic information about titles and they don't know anything, because maybe comics aren't their focus. Maybe they're into gaming, or maybe they like the toys more, or video games or something, and that's fine. But, you know, this is a comic book store, and we know our comic books, and we try to convey that. And we want to generate sales.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people say, can you recommend something, that's like a cry for help for us. That's saying, I want to read something. Please point something out to me. And that's such a precious resource, not to sound dramatic here, but anybody that comes to your store and wants to give you money, if you can't find something for them, there's something wrong, and unfortunately, you probably don't deserve to be in business.
Mm, okay, well, that's a good way to put it, I think. Now, one of the things that a couple of decades ago, I'll tell you how long I've been reading comics, that worried me was that the advent of trade paperbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And I was terrified that people were going to end up going to the local Borders instead of the local comic store to get their mm-hmm. comics fixed.
Right.
Instead, now it's Borders that's in bankruptcy, and many of the comic stores are still doing pretty well. My latest fear is that the advent of digital comics, going to your iPhone to get a comic
mm-hmm.
instead of going to the local store. And I know you and I were interested in talking a little bit about that. What's your take on that?
I'm still on the fence about it. I still, my gut reaction and my 90% feeling is that it's not going to replace the comic book. In fact, you know, Marvel and DC and all the companies have pretty much come out and said, look, we have these digital comics, but we want to use them to drive people to the comic book stores. They could find some new titles, but for the most part, the digital comics that are available are an eclectic sort or older things. You're not going to find the newest, you know, series. I mean, no, people are bootlegging them out there too, which is a problem. I'm totally against that. But I'd like to think of it just another tool to get people interested in comics. Marvel and DC, especially, and the other companies that can afford it, they already know that people are going online, they're browsing online, they're picking up things online. Why shouldn't they at least get some access to some comic books? But eventually, if they want more, they're going to have to come to the comic book store. I don't think that people who are buying digital comics, the comics they're buying, I don't think are replacing the comics that they would like to buy. It's just something maybe to get them more interested in something a little extra. So think of it as like maybe a comic book accessory. That's what I look at it right now. I mean, I could be proven totally wrong if Marvel and DC decide to put out all their new comics every week on digital thing for $9.99 a month. But I don't think they'll do that because I think they'll be cutting their own throat. And I don't even think they'd be able to afford to pay the writers and artists when it comes to that.
But what about back issues? I mean, Marvel has talked about putting it out digitally. And one of the things that comic stores depend on a lot is to selling back issues. People want to go back and complete their collections.
I will say, I mean, like we have a nice selection of back issues. We're always selling, but back issue sales have slipped over the years. But they've been replaced by the trade paperbacks. And there's a couple schools of thought. And Wayne, you know, you've been collecting comics a long time. I have. For somebody who wants to buy the actual comics and buy the actual back issues, nothing is going to replace having that physical comic book in your hand. And that's the other thing comic books have over the digital world, is the true comic book fan, or even just it applies to books too. You know, everything that's digital is nice, but when you want to have that in your hand, you want to have a hardcover to take somewhere and just, you know, smell the paper, all the stuff that goes with it, nothing can replace that. But in recent years, the graphic novel has kind of replaced back issues, but it's fine. Like, I don't have a problem with that because we sell more back issues. We sell more trades than probably we've sold back issues, definitely over the past so many years, because people can get the entire story and they don't have to horse around going, oh, well, no, Comics on the Green has 2 out of the 6 parts I need. Well, I'll go online and get the other 2, but then I have to pay shipping. Then I got to find them elsewhere. And I think that was turning people off. If anything, the trade paperback market probably saved a lot of people and it saved a lot of fans and made them stick around because, I want the entire Batman Long Halloween. Well, there it is. I could buy it for $20 in trade paperback or a fancy hardcover or something like that.
Well, there are two things that come to mind right away. Is I've downloaded digital comics to my iPhone, and it's a very different reading experience on the iPhone. Well, they do one of two things. They either show the whole page and you have to zoom in, and then you got to figure out how to move it around on the iPhone so you can see it, or they break the page up into little panels, and you have to sit there with your fingers, running it across it, panel after panel after panel, which is a thing. And I don't know if we're ready for that yet. I'm not sure that's where we'll ever be, honestly.
Exactly. That's my feeling as well, is that it's a neat little thing right now, and I'm glad the companies are taking the step to, stay current with modern technology. But a real fan, that's annoying to most people, especially on a small phone, even if it's on something larger like an iPad or something like that.
But the second thing that happens is I noticed that in order to get people interested in the comic, they're giving the first one away free. Mm-hmm. Like IDW did that. And it helped me one time. I was getting into a comic from IDW called Dragon Age, which was based on a video game, and I really liked it. And I could not find issue number 1. I guess nobody in this area, believe it or not, ordered it. So I went round and round and round, and finally I found it on my iPhone, and I was able to read it, and so then I was able to read issues 2 and 3, which I had gotten.
Right.
But that still didn't satisfy me. When I finally came across issue number 1, I had to buy the physical comic. So
right.
In that way, I guess it's they're looking at it as sort of an advertisement for stuff that we have out now.
Sure, that's a good way to put it as any. There's big advertisements to go buy the product.
Okay, and thanks, David, and we'll talk with you again hopefully sometime in the future. So thanks.
Yeah, anytime, Wayne. I really enjoyed it, and it's always fun to talk to you. You're very knowledgeable, and anytime you want to talk, just let me know.
Thanks very much.
All right, take care.
Once we finished the regular part of the program, Dave and I started talking about comics and how important it is to be positive about comics. which of course made us go right into slamming something, and I jumped on my favorite hobby horse, and Dave jumped right on with me.
Keep things more positive, too. You know what I mean? We could all slam, like, certain books here and there. But
I slam Mr. Straczynski on a very regular basis.
He deserves it.
And on the main podcast, I do what I call the best and the bust of the week. So I'm always grateful when he puts out a comic because I never have to worry what the bust of the week is. It's always going to be Superman or Wonder Woman because, yikes, I don't like those books.
No. It's a huge disappointment. And Wonder Woman's, in my opinion, better than Superman right now. I think Superman's a complete disgrace right now and just boring. And yeah, I always joke in the story that Lex Luthor's finally gotten his revenge because people are more interested in action comics than they are in Superman. And in our store, it's outselling Superman by quite a few issues already now.
It's science fiction that will blow your mind. This is SFP Now. Speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Wayne's Comic Review.
Strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands. And now, another exciting episode.
I thought we'd wind up Wayne's Comics today with some news. DC recently canceled several titles, including Doom Patrol, Freedom Fighters, JSA All-Stars, The Outsiders, which is written by Dan DiDio, and Rebels. Before that, they had canceled three of the multitudinous Batman titles, and that included Azrael, Batman Streets of Gotham, and Batman Confidential. I'd long said I didn't know how long Batman could support like 20 different titles, so I'm not terribly surprised that that's happened. But I'm kind of sorry that some of the other ones, particularly the group books, are going under. Doom Patrol had sort of been run hot and cold with Keith Giffen. I like his work, but I just didn't know if he really had a handle on the Doom Patrol that I liked. Freedom Fighters was interesting, very political. Jimmy Palmiotti was writing that with Justin Gray, and they were doing an interesting job. The biggest surprise, I think, of the whole bunch was the JSA All-Stars. That book had actually been doing, I thought, been doing pretty well. The thing that fascinates me is that the JSA has picked up ever since Jeff Johns got a hold of it several years ago. And they had Bill Willingham doing it, and I think they had Mark Guggenheim doing the regular JSA book. And the JSA All-Stars apparently didn't pick up to the level that they thought that they should be doing. I think you can look for those characters to be integrated back into the JSA. So it's not like we've lost those characters forever. I'm pretty sure those people are going to be around. And I'm sad in a way because, you know, all these wonderful comics are great fun. And ever since they've been reduced to $2.99, I've been able to afford more of them. And now I have a little fewer choices to pick from. I think another comic we need to talk about is Alpha Flight. Alpha Flight now is back in the game. They're going to do a mini-series with the original Alpha Flight members, which is going to be really interesting. John Byrne, back decades ago, they gave him the privilege, I guess it was, of creating a Canadian super team that was something like the X-Men. And they had several members in it. And over the years, Alpha Flight has never quite lived up to the original group. They've been split apart. They've had new members come in. I think they even tried to do something that was comical along those lines. But the poor old Alpha Flight never really got back to its original glory. And now, in relation to this, to the Fear Itself event, there's going to be a four-issue miniseries with Alpha Flight. So I think any those of us fans who liked Alpha Flight, and I was one of them, I think this is something to look forward to. I'm hopeful that they'll do it right. I get a little discouraged when what they do is simply put, you know, the same old back out. And the one thing I would not want to see
his Wolverine comeback. Although, you know, it's pretty definite that he's going to make a guest star at some point. Because whenever something has to do with Canada, dear old Wolverine bub will show up. So I think we can look forward to that. I'd like to see the Vindicator come back, to be honest. I like the Canadian costume, the one that was based on the Canadian flag. So I think that's a pretty good thing. But we'll see what exactly they have in mind. And since Dave and I kind of went over a lot of reviews, I want to mention a couple of other books in this segment. There's a Red Robin number 20 has come out. That's an interesting comic. It's got on the cover Catman, who I always am amazed at how Gail Simone was able to turn him, this guy who was like a low-level character, into one of the most interesting characters in comics. He's actually on the comic, although the title says it's Red Robin with the Teen Titans. He's got Catman in there, and it's going to be interesting to see how that turns out. Another book I think that's really worth following is the Farscape comic. Keith DeCandido, who works along with Rodney O'Bannon, has really been turning in this comic into a great new season for the Farscape show. It has been such a pleasure to read it. It's really I forget sometimes I'm reading a comic and I think I'm watching a television program again, which is a great thing. I love that show dearly. I'm sorry that it's gone. I would love desperately for them to make more shows, but it doesn't look very possible at the moment. So the next best thing is to get the Farscape comic, and it's pretty good. The art is a little standard, but Keith's scripts make up for that, so I really enjoy that book a lot. I should also promote, since we're talking about shows that have been translated into comics, it's probably a good idea to mention the latest Jericho comic that's come out. The company that picked it up now has reprinted all the first three issues, the first couple of issues that were printed, and now you can pick up the first ones and the current ones, so you can keep up with the new season as they're doing in there. That's, again, a very interesting story. The people who had been working on the show kind of set up another season in the comics. And, you know, given the success of Buffy and Angel and Firefly and things like that, it's not a bad thing to have a comic based on a TV show. You've got a certain number of people who enjoyed the show before it left the airwaves, so they can sort of come in and pick up the slack on that. And, you know, comics sales are such that if they get enough people who enjoyed the show to buy the comic, it'd be a smashing success. So I think that's a pretty good thing. I think that they're having a lot of fun with it. The art, again, is a little plain, but if you know the characters, it's going to be easy to tell who is who. But more than that, it's just a continuation of this wonderful show that was revived by fans sending bunches and bunches of nuts to CBS. So I think that is a really, really good comic that definitely deserves support. Another one that came out is The Unwritten, and I always like to promote that. Nick Yanes is a big supporter of that on the scifipulse.net website. It's very much as if, what if Harry Potter was real? What if the character that was in this book was actually based on a real person? And it's a very fascinating study on that. And the line between reality and fiction gets really blurred. And that's kind of fun in a comic, to be honest. Again, I have to say, the artwork is not very spectacular. It's nothing to write home about. But it is an interesting story, a fascinating look at literature. And, you know, Harry Potter has plenty of fans out there. I don't think it's a problem as far as getting people to pick up the book. It's received a lot of accolades and it's gotten a lot of attention. So I would definitely pick up The Unwritten, which came out recently. Another thing is, we're getting close to the end of the Brightest Day event at DC. I think it would be really good to keep buying the Green Lantern Corps and Green Lantern, which are making great strides. They're also setting up the War of the Green Lanterns, which is going to be along before too very long. So there's poor old Green Lantern, as Dave likes to say. He's running from one disaster to another, pretty much. But it's good reading. Mr. Johns does a wonderful job, and he's going to keep doing it, I hope. It's not too long from now, in fact, that the Green Lantern movie is going to come out. There is news that Nathan Fillion, who was, speaking of Firefly, in that show, he's going to be the voice of Hal Jordan in something called Green Lantern Emerald Warriors. Somebody online actually put together a wonderful little debut or a sample of what it could be like to have Nathan Fillion as Green Lantern. Kind of funny. It's interesting. He could have done it reasonably well. I still like Ryan Reynolds as my favorite, but Green Lantern has certainly taken off in the poster where they have the, you know, drawing the line at 299. Who's drawing that line but dear old Green Lantern? So he's definitely risen to the top of the heap, which is good. I just hope it doesn't push Wonder Woman down, because I think that she needs some attention. She really needs somebody to go in there and resuscitate her as a comics character. So that's the reviews for comics for this week. And that's another edition of Wayne's Comics. But before I go, I really want to make sure I give a shout out to Sean Hardy, who had put together the intro and outro music and vocal segments, as well as the intro to the review segments. I've gotten an awfully lot of positive comments, Sean, and I really wanted to thank you publicly. Sean also works on the SFP Now podcast, and he provides audio engineering for that, and he does a great job there as well. So thanks a lot, Sean. I really appreciate your support. And until next time, keep reading your comics.
So I leave, knowing that a world full of heroes has nothing to fear.